All right. 1861. He's married. He has a beautiful wife named Mary. She has a miscarriage and passes away. He gets remarried 18 years. Frances, I believe her name was. She dies tragically when her dress catches fire. He's trying to put it out when he finally realizes in the room her dress is on fire. He gets burned in his face. Just a terrible situation. In all honesty, his personal peace is shaken, and I guess you could understand that. And then his son, a couple years later, he joins the Civil War. He joins the Union side as a soldier, and he doesn't really have his father's blessing, and his dad finds out through a letter that the son wrote back. Here it is, quote, "I have tried hard to resist the temptation of going without your leave, but I cannot any longer. I feel it to be my first duty to do what I can do for my country, and I would willingly lay down my life for it if it would be of any good." His son was appointed, graduated to lieutenant, got hurt, wounded drastically, ended up healing, but could not serve in the military. And once again, his personal peace is gone. It's when he wrote a poem called Christmas Bells, and if you've never read it, you really need to go and read the Christian poem, Christmas Bells. And you may or may not know the song, we just sang it today, that comes from "And I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." His name, of course, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And him, as he writes this, the words to the song in your notes, you see it there. I have some of the words. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play." Now, can you put that in context? One rotten thing after another. And you say to yourself, oh, God, there's peace on earth. Yeah, right. Almost in a sarcastic way, he says, "And mild and sweet their songs repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." If you're new to Lifehouse, you can pull out your smartphone, go to the Bible app, lower right-hand corner. You can pull up all the notes and everything, follow along. Or there's a set of sermon notes in your program there. You're welcome to follow along. Extra sermon notes up here on either side. If you don't have a set, grab a set of notes, follow along with me. Because I have the question right at the top of your notes. Does it ever seem like he might have been asking me, like, which side is winning? Which side is winning in this whole thing, you know? Evil seems to be winning. Especially when it comes to what was going on in Longfellow's life. Now, in case you think that you're the only one that's ever asked this question, I got two psalms for you to write down. Very easy to remember. Psalm 37, and then flip the numbers. Psalm 73. Psalm 37 and 73. The psalmists are like, man, evil is everywhere. You're not the only one that's thought that. The problem is sometimes as Christians we think it shouldn't be here with me. I shouldn't be disrupted by it. I mean, haven't you ever asked the same thing? But if you read the Psalms all the way to the end, you'll find out exactly where we're going today. Has your personal peace been shaken? Never been shaken? Ever been shaken? Shaken right now? In the past? Maybe in the future? Let me talk to you about a couple different things today. Number one in your notes, would you fill it in with me? I want to talk to you about peace that is personal. Peace that is personal. Look at the words he has. I put this for every one of the points. "And in despair, I bowed my head." Right? Should there be anything about this Christmas? Do you know one of the biggest difficulties pastors have in the month of December? I learned this my first year in ministry. Don't schedule any meetings. None. Because there will be plenty of problems in this time. When everybody else is hearing the joys and the bells and the Christmas music, there's people that have deep, deep hurts. "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said. "For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth and goodwill to men." See, when everybody hears that word peace, all of us think something different. Some of us think to ourselves, gee, my youngest daughter was married, and now there's peace in my house. No kids. That's one kind of peace. There can be peace among friends, but maybe you're thinking, peace? When we hear these, that kind of just mocks the whole theology of the whole thing. See, most people, they know John the Baptist. John the Baptist came, before Jesus, the forerunner. But if I were to ask you the question, maybe some of you know, some not, that his mom and dad were Zechariah and Elizabeth. And of course, Zechariah, he was a priest. And Zechariah was sent into the Holy of Holies. And while he was in there, he got a message from God through an angel. And of course, he really didn't believe what that angel said. And so he said, how's this going to happen? And he said, it's going to happen, yada, yada. Of course, they were old. They couldn't have any kids. And so he had a tough time believing it. And so you know what he said? You're going to have a son. You're going to name him John. But for your unbelief, I'm going to take away the very gift God has given you. You will not be able to speak. You're a priest. You're supposed to teach people. For 9 months, it's gone. But it will come up again when he is born, and you will name him. I have in your notes, Luke, the first chapter, and I think you only have verse 79. 9 months later, Zechariah speaks the words, his name will be John, and he breaks out into this prophetic song. You need to read the whole thing. Let me give you just a couple of verses, starting in verse 76. And he says, oh, I got this kid, and you, my child, John, you'll be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Fulfillment of prophecy that one will come before the Messiah. Verse 77. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. What was John the Baptist doing? He was calling people to repent of their sins and to be baptized. Don't ever think that you can ever find anybody in the Bible ever baptized that first didn't repent. We don't baptize infants. We dedicate them. You must repent, according to Scriptures, verse 78, because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Here it is, verse 79, to shine on, how's this for personal, those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide, how's this for personal, our feet into the path of peace. You know, to find personal peace, we must come out of the darkness. It's all throughout the Scriptures. Step out of the darkness and step into the light. Step out of the shadow of death and come into the light. To the one who will put their trust in Jesus Christ, to the one that John the Baptist is talking about, and the one who Zechariah is prophesying about, you can put your feet on a new path. I have a couple testimonies that I'd like to share with you today. People that you may or may not know, and this church is 10 years old when we first started coming. I actually called and talked to Bonnie Hansack, if you could put that graphic up there for me. I asked her to send me a graphic, and she didn't, so I chose one. Did she catch that, or did you? She probably did, and brag she caught the biggest fish. Here's Bonnie's testimony. 7 years ago, on the way home from work, I was involved in a horrible accident. A small child rode his bike out in front of my car, and I hit him. The little boy had injuries, but thankfully recovered. But even though I was physically okay, I was emotionally and mentally a wreck. After locking myself in the house for a few days, I felt something calling me. I wasn't sure what it was, but felt a strong urge to go to church. I couldn't understand this at all, since I hadn't stepped in the foot of a church in, well, I couldn't remember when. And after attending a church down the road from my house, I still didn't understand what I was doing there. But a few days later, my daughter, Ashley, it's always good to have somebody in your family praying for you when there's a situation. You don't understand what's calling you? It's the answer to the prayers of the people. My daughter, Ashley, invited me to go to Lifehouse with her. After giving in and looking forward to whatever it was I thought I needed, I went with her. Well, when I walked into the church, I felt something. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I had to figure out what it was, because I felt calm. And for the first time since my accident, I felt at peace with it. I felt that there was hope for me. I felt the Holy Spirit coming alive in me, and I wanted more. 2 weeks later, I finally knew what it was that I was looking for. Jesus. The one thing that we have, and the only thing we have to offer you, Jesus. And he was there just waiting for me. I gave him my life that day and started turning my life around. Has it been easy? Heck no. But with Jesus by my side guiding me, I am more peaceful and calm when life throws a curve in my path, because I know he will be there for me. Testimony of Bonnie. Somebody asked me the question, can an atheist have peace? That's right. Sure. An atheist can have peace. Peace is defined in a whole bunch of different ways. They can have peace because they have a great job. They don't have to worry about retirement. They can have peace because maybe they get along with their family. But they can't have the peace that Bonnie has. And I know that here today there's probably not a whole lot of, I hope there's not. Well, maybe I do hope there's some atheists here today. But the peace that she had only can come when a person comes willfully out of darkness and wants to walk on the path, the new path that Jesus Christ has laid out for you and for me. See, this song says, wrong shall fail. And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow knew that he was starting to lose his personal peace, but he wasn't done writing his poem yet. Number one, there's peace that is personal. Number two, there's peace that is in context. We're really big on this because you can make the Bible say anything you want. You can make the Bible say that you should be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You can make it say all kinds of things. But we're talking about peace that is in context. You see, with Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he was struggling with thinking this whole thing that when I'm singing this song and when these angels are singing the song, he's thinking for Christians there should be no struggles in life. And haven't you thought it or said it honestly? Or, you know, if God is alive, why did he let this happen? And I always wonder, how come when things are going good, we don't say, God, why are you letting these wonderful things happen to me? Only when it turns south. Peace that is in context. Look at the words in your notes there another line from the song. But the bells are ringing. Peace on earth. It's like they won't let them alone. Like a choir singing peace on earth. Does anybody hear them? That's a great question. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Did anybody see the context? Because the context has everything to do with understanding it. You can talk about there being no peace, you know, in North Korea. You'd be no peace here, there, wherever. And Jesus said, listen, as long as you're in this world, there's going to be war. You're here, war, but the end has not yet come. And so the context comes from Luke, the second chapter, verse 13. Last week, we were with the shepherds. They got to the place. They saw one angel. They were scared out of their bejeebers, this one angel. And I think the one angel just kind of prepared them for verse 13. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. That means it's conditional. It's on earth. It's there. It's come. But it's on whom his favor rests. You know what it's like to be in favor with your husband, with your wife, with your pastor, with your dad, whatever it is. Throw a baseball through a window and you're not going to be in so much favor. And this talks about those who his favor rests. And that's why we read the scriptures to find out, am I in God's will? Am I pleasing my Lord and my Savior, the one who's given his life to me? They sing, the angels are singing glory to God because he is about to show his great love, his tender mercy. He's about to give his son. Glory to God, man. Something is going to happen between the God, the holy God, and the sinners on earth. They know what's coming. And now we see and know. Peace on earth on whom his favor rested. It takes a little bit of searching. But don't worry. If you search for me, he said, you'll find me. Jesus came at not so peaceful of a time. Just in case you think you come to know Jesus Christ and there's no problems. The time that Jesus came, Herod commanded that all of the boys, 2 and under, were killed. So he was hoping to get the Messiah. Oh, how's that for peace? Well, the Messiah comes, peace on earth, except for all of the mothers, the fathers, who had their sons slit open and killed and murdered in front of them. Prophesied that there's weeping in Rachel's in the city. So Jesus came at not such a peaceful time. And this peace has to be in context. This was a peace that came between Evan, the rebellious sinner, and Jesus, the holy God. I had to come out of darkness, and you do too. We have a goal this month for 10 people to come out of the darkness, to come over to Jesus Christ, to give their lives to Christ. 3 people this morning at Lifeline said, I'm coming. I'm coming out of that into a relationship with Jesus Christ. This piece in context talks about rebellious sinners. You heard the true story of three skunks, I'm sure. Some of you. Well, the skunks that speak. You know, they're heading down the road, and there's a fork in the road. This is a true story, trust me. And as they're going down the road, the father skunk says, you know, it's my instinct that we should go to the left. And the mother skunk says, boy, in my instinct, I think that we should go to the right. And the baby skunk says, man, my end stinks, and I don't know where to go. Truth of the matter is, if you don't know Jesus, you're born into this world, your whole body stinks, not just your end. And that's where we find ourselves, and maybe it's a funny way to point it out, but we stink of sin. And we stink of the fact that there is a God that comes and wants to have this peace to clean us up. And it's not tomato juice, it's the blood of Jesus. They have to have this peace that is in context. When the peace of God enters our hearts, the wrong fails and right prevails. Number three in your notes. Peace that is in God's time. Peace. See, there's this other peace that's being talked about. It's in God's time. See, we just talked about you can have personal peace. You can have peace that's in context that has to do with somebody who decides to get out of their life and get out of their darkness and get on the path. That's the context of it. But then there is this piece that this talks about. Look at the words to the song there. Then rang the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. He's coming to the place where he's saying, okay, yeah, I'm getting out of this depression. The wrong shall fail, he wrote. The right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to man. Now this line right here, it kind of breaks in and has this great breakthrough. The word shall in the King James Version always, always refers to future. Future. That's why I had you go to a future time in the book of Revelation chapter 21. Somebody told me there's no Satan in the first two chapters of the Bible and no Satan in the last two. Here's chapter 21. There's only 22 verses in the book of Revelation. And you only have a verse there, but let me just kind of set this up from Revelation 21:1. Jesus comes in and he's speaking to John, and John is writing this down, and he says, the old earth and the old heavens and the firmaments, they have disappeared. They're gone. They're gone. They can't be found. And he comes and he says, here comes the new Jerusalem out of heaven. Here comes the new wave. I will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There's no more curse. It's all done. This is future. And he's writing it. And you have verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. This is now the fulfillment of when there will be a peace. Let me read a couple verses. He said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, this has to do with Christians, two things, two people. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Folks, salvation is free. Unfortunately, people carry that on to say, I don't need to do anything. I got it free. That's not in the Bible in any way, shape, or form. Because look at the very next sentence, verse 7. But to those who are victorious. That's the word for an overcomer. To those who are victorious, they will inherit all this and I will be their God and they'll be my children. Folks, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. He continues to tell us how to live. We just came and finished up the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews has warning after warning after warning to stay on the right path. Let me just read a couple verses. So what happens to the wrong? Look at verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts. You know, we kind of just turn a little funny cheek to those who are talking to the dead and the psychics and all these horoscope mumbo-jumbo. It's magic's art. It's of the devil. It's demonic. The idolaters, all the liars. Wow, that's kind of really lowering the bar. Everybody tells a little lie. Oh, yeah? They will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. I didn't say it. We're always wanting something from God now, aren't we? We're always wanting something from God. You know, He really doesn't know what He's doing. I need peace. I need the situation covered. If this gets covered, I'll have peace in my life. He just always doesn't really know what He's doing. Some of you know I've enjoyed boating since I was like in second grade, moved into the house off of Lake Erie, boating, love it. When you head out of Fairport Harbor, for those of you who've ever been out of Fairport Harbor, there's a place that is not the Bermuda Triangle, but it's the Bermuda Tri-Wave area. There is a north and south wall on the left side. There is an east and west wall over here. And then there's this opening you go through. And there are times when you're coming down there, and the flow of the river is pushing you out. And then there's times from the north or the east, the waves are coming in this way. So those two are battling each other. That's not the worst of it. The waves that are coming this direction come into that north-south wall, hit it, and create a wave coming back. Three waves coming in three different directions now. I've been through that. And I've been through it at certain times when it is shucking and jiving. And you have to know when to give it gas, and the boat's going up and down and back and forth. But I really like taking somebody who's never been on a boat. You know, they're on a boat, they're sitting there, and they're like white-knuckling it. And I just like, I don't know if we're going to make it. But honestly, I know what I can handle. I know what my boat can handle. And so we get through it. I say, isn't that fun? You want to do that again? Get me out of here. I say, well, then you need to repent and find Jesus, or I'm throwing you in the water. You know, it's just great, great evangelism. And so there's one person in that boat that has total peace, no worries. There's one person in that boat has no peace. And that may be where you're at today. No peace. Your Heavenly Father knows the waves. He knows the boat you're in. He knows what's going on. He can get you through it. The peace on earth has to be peace in context. Isn't it awesome to know what the future is? It can help you today. You may be struggling to work, to make your retirement, your work to put away, but you know the future is going to be there. Isn't it nice to know that one day all of this will be taken care of? Wrong will shall fail, right prevail. In God's time and in God's strength. In Christianity, I just think it would be so much better for us. It's just really tough in America for Christians. We have this Americanized, easy Christianity. And I look at this and I think to myself, man, if Christians could remember the words of Jesus, in this world, you will have problems. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Of course, we hear that. Okay, then I won't have no problems. Never said that. If you and I could just remember, in this world, you're going to have problems. It would help us so, so very, very much. Now, I know about you, but every once in a while, mail comes to my house. And it's not addressed to me. And I'm tempted to open it. It comes to the house, it's not addressed to me. You know, one of my kids gets mail, it looks official. Are they in trouble? It's from a judge, whatever it is. I've been through it. I got some mail right here, came to you this past week. Investigative report prepared for Maria Nunley. She hasn't opened it yet because I hid it. What does she know? What does she know about me? What is she searching out? What's this investigative report about? I mean, I'm a saint, and you all know that. But you know the best thing is, it's illegal to open somebody else's mail. I left it closed. Doesn't mean I can't burn it. In your notes, I have two words, opened or closed. Sure, it's wrong to open somebody else's mail, so leave it closed. But you know the exact opposite is true with your heart? It is wrong. It is bad. It is bad news to close your heart. It is joyous, and what God is calling and asking of you today to open your heart. Look at the words that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, he wrote, open up your heart and hear them. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Goodwill to men. In your notes, I have this asterisk there. Just fill it in with me. It's where I want to get to today. Would you open up your heart and receive peace instead of punishment? Could you open up your heart? And because the truth of the matter is you saw the two sides of what ends up happening in the book of Revelation. In chapter 21, those who are thirsty, those are victorious. You get in, but all the rest don't. There is an eternal punishment that Jesus talked about more than anybody else, as best I know, in the Scriptures. It's not a good time to close your heart. It's the best time to open your heart. And if you open your heart, right will prevail and wrong will fail. So in the bottom of your notes, I simply have this. Will you take a piece? A little play on words. Piece of candy, if you want to take, if Mary is kind, she'll give you a piece and you won't have to take it from her. Take a piece of candy, piece of gum. You want a piece of me? Or how about the peace of God? How about the peace of God? As I talked to Bonnie, I talked to Tom, and I asked Tom, Bonnie's husband, I said, I know a little bit of your story. Could I use that also? To which he said, yeah. And I said, and send me a picture too. So he sent me this picture, which if I was you, I wouldn't go home today. Bonnie's over at Lifeline. It looks like he was shaving and she was trying to get up in your face or something. Something like that. All right, the shaving cream comes off. Would you listen to this testimony he sent me? Several years ago, Tom said, I became part owner of an established mill workshop, and I was at the point in my life where things were falling into place, and myself and my family, at least, that's how I saw it. I'm not one to turn from work or responsibility, so in my mind, I was paying my dues and doing whatever it took to be successful, he put. I soon realized what I was really doing was making others successful. I was paying the cost while I was being successful, and what I perceived as success and happiness was truly costing me my family and my health. Said I was working 70 to 80 hours a week for months on end. I wasn't sleeping or eating at all. He lost 45 pounds and started treating my family the way I was trained to deal with employees and vendors. I couldn't turn it off. At the end of the day, I couldn't leave work at work. I could no longer focus on anything. He said all my thoughts became unintelligible, and he put this in quote. He said it became white noise. There wasn't a peaceful moment in my life where I could come home and just enjoy my family and my life that I was working so hard to make better. About this time, things were really getting bad, and I can tell you truthfully, I stepped into the presence of Jesus. He revealed to me through a series of life events the truly important things. My wife Bonnie, who for years was the caregiver to her mother who had Alzheimer's, she had now just become involved in an accident involving a young boy on a bike. That was the last testimony. My mom was fighting lung cancer. My oldest son was battling a heroin addiction. Bonnie was broken and already resigned herself to know that she needed someone to turn to. So I followed her. And upon entering the doors of Lifehouse Church, the white noise I was hearing for so long became a clear voice. Quote, come unto me, all you who are weary. The immenseness of the peace that now surrounds me is indescribable. Through this faith I have rightfully placed in Jesus Christ, He has lifted me above the troubling things of this life and continues to prove what is possible for Him. What about you? Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much. What about you? Maybe your story is a little different. What is it for you, possibly, that you might possibly need? What is it that God is calling you? And you've been thinking and wanting peace in all kinds of different ways, but Jesus is saying this peace is personal. This peace is in context. This peace is between a stinky sinner like me and a holy God, and He's bringing this peace. No wonder the angels are shouting glory to God. But it's not for everybody. It's not for the world. It's not for the nations. It's for the individual. Would you bow your heads with me today? Bow your heads with me today. And let me just talk to you just for a second, because I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to Jesus today. Maybe you walked with Him at one time and you're far from Him. Or maybe you've just been nagged just a little bit for a while to Just make a decision. Come to Jesus Christ. And this peace, it's not going to solve the problems in your life. Some of those things are out of your control. Maybe it will solve some problems, but this peace is between you and Jesus. So let me ask you a question before I ask you just to raise your hand, decide to give your life to Jesus. Do you want to come out of the darkness? Do you want to come out of the stink world? Do you want to come out of the sin world and repent? That's what it's about. Come out of your life, your way, and come in to the light that will guide the path of your feet all the way to that new Jerusalem. With everybody's head bowed, is there anybody here today? Just slip your hand up so I can get a chance to pray for you. You want to give your life to Jesus today? Anybody? Anybody else? Jesus, what it is that you have done, the honor, the glory goes to you, Lord. We come today and we come before you as sinners and in an instant can become saints. For those who have made a decision to follow Jesus today, will you seal this work with your Holy Spirit? Seal this work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do everything that you can to get them into Bible study, to get them to a place where they have Christian friends. Open up the scriptures to them that maybe they didn't understand before. Open it up new and fresh. Take the veil off of their eyes so they can see. And do this work so that this new heaven will wipe away every tear. And it'll be the place where wrong does not prevail. And right is the one. Righteousness prevails. Father, for us as Christians, we need to take it upon ourselves. Come alongside these new Christians. Be there for them. Help them. Get them to Bible study. Bless them. Be kind to them. Pray for them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.